Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, May 7th. Welcome to Beauty Talk. If you have a question or a comment tonight, we're asking that you call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And now I'm going to turn it over to Denise, who has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty News. And again, welcome to the show. Very briefly, let me just remind you all of a few things. IMATS London is coming up May 19th through the 21st. And if you don't know what IMATS is, it's the International Makeup Artist Trade Show that's held all over the world in Los Angeles, New York, London, Sydney, Australia, Vancouver, Canada, and Toronto, Canada. And IMATS London is taking place again on May 19th through the 21st. On May 19th, there will be a pro-only show from 3 to 7 p.m. On the 20th, it's open to the public, and the show takes place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And again, on Sunday, the 21st, the show opens up at 10 o'clock and ends at 5 p.m. as well. And just wanted to mention that Janice and I will be teaching a class on that Saturday, May 20th, Makeup for Men and Women of Color, where we will talk about different techniques and tips and tricks on doing makeup for men and women of color. And we'll also talk about the tools that we use, like the brushes and products that we use as well for makeup for men and women of color. So if you're in London at IMATS, be sure to join us at that class. It takes place at 2 p.m. on the open forum stage. And the winners were announced for the Daytime Creative Arts Emmy Awards that took place, I believe it was the week before last. On April 28th, the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences announced the winners of the 44th Annual Daytime Creative Arts Emmy Awards in a presentation at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium in Pasadena, California. The winners in the makeup and hairstyling categories are listed here. Outstanding Makeup for a Drama Series, The Bold and the Beautiful on CBS, head makeup artist Christine LeJohnson. Makeup artist working with her was LaLady Baker, Chris Escobosa, Jalene Rizzo, and Jennifer Whitman. Outstanding Makeup, Odd Squad on PBS. The key makeup artist was Jenna Servatius. Outstanding Hairstyling for a Drama Series, General Hospital, ABC. I'm surprised it's still on. The hairstylist Kelly Davidson, Nicole Moore, and Linda Osgood. Outstanding hairstyling for Odd Squad, again, PBS. Key hairstylist Liz Rowland. So for more information on those winners, you can check out makeupartistmag.com. And that's all I have for this week.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much. A few weeks ago, I sat on a panel, and then my sister was asked to join later toward the end, the business panel at PMAC, the Professional Makeup Artist Conference in Atlanta. And the moderator was our guest tonight, Ms. Cornelia Shipley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you both. Yes, absolutely.
How are you?
I'm good. I sure hate y'all hating on General Hospital. That is my guilty pleasure.
No, I love General Hospital, but, I mean, you know, I mean, just about every other soap opera is gone now, so I'm, like, really, I'm not shocked that it's still around because it's so good. You still watch it?
I still watch. My husband will tell you. He looks at me like the DVR is getting a little full.
I was
going to
say, you must set your DVR.
I set the DVR, and then, you know, because by the time the commercials are over, it's about, what, like 40 minutes of TV. So I can watch, you know, several episodes, you know, back to back. And I know all about what Sonny and Carly are up to. It's important things in my life.
Yeah, that's a great soap. I mean, if I was going to be still watching it, that would probably be the one.
Right. And the hair and makeup's not bad. They do a good job with the couple of folks of color. That nobody's shiny and nobody's, you know, looking like their skin tone doesn't match their makeup. So they've got a pretty good makeup artist team on there, because that's hard. I mean,
those are some of the issues.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
And let's be honest, that's a hard job for anybody, regardless of whether you're of color or not. You know?
That's right.
It's a hard job
for
anybody. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show again.
Thank you.
Let's just start off by you introducing yourself to our listening audience and giving us a bit of information about who you are and what you do.
Sure. So my name is Cornelia Shipley, and I run a leadership development firm by day called 3C Consulting. It's 3cconsulting.com. And my team and I work with leaders predominantly at the director level and above in corporations to really help them around their business leadership. So the biggest part of running a business is leading the people who work with and for you. And so we spend a lot of time helping the Fortune 1000 and the leaders of those organizations really do the work of leading their people and leading their strategy better. And then in addition to that, as both of you know, Gwyneth Mosby, who founded PMAC, happens to be a good friend of my husband and I. And for the last 4 years at PMAC, she has asked me to facilitate the business panel because of the work I do with entrepreneurs. Every year I work with a small handful, between 10 and 12 entrepreneurs privately, to really help them move from employee to owner. And because of that, Gwyneth has asked me to participate and to facilitate the panel on an annual basis at PMAC about the business of beauty, because there's a difference, as you both know, between standing in front of a chair and running a business. And so I have the pleasure every year to work with both creatives and just small business owners who may own a brick and mortar or may own a consulting business, to really help them go from owning a job to owning their business.
Let me ask you this, Cornelia. When you conduct these classes or trainings with these entrepreneurs, do you find that at the end they all actually follow through and they all actually go from being artist to owner? Do you see success stories from some of these?
I do, and some of them have to tell themselves the truth, right? There are people who think entrepreneurship is a good idea for them. And then as we start down the path of our work together, they figure out that they actually would be a better employee for someone else than they would be their own boss, right? Because as a business owner, you spend most of your time making decisions versus servicing clients if you are owning a business, right?
Right.
Because you should have employees that are actually interfacing with your clients. And so that takes a huge mindset shift, right? If you went to go to Gwyneth Mosby Makeup Academy or whatever makeup artistry school or beauty school you went to, you went to that school for the purposes of doing hair or doing makeup or, you know, esthetician services or whatever. And so now to have to go from that hands-on, you know, literally getting your hands dirty to actually taking a step away and being a step removed from that client interface, some people don't want that. some people just want to be able to say, you know, I did my job, I applied, you know, makeup to somebody's face for their wedding, and I'm done.
Right. So how in your opinion, how big does for an entrepreneur with a business, how big does that business have to be before they start hiring employees?
You know, it depends. Here's what I would say is most people start a business either out of necessity because they got laid off or they figure out that they're unemployable or, you know, they have a life event happen and suddenly they're now in business for themselves. There's a small handful of people in today's gig economy that are choosing to go into business in a more strategic way. So I'll talk about that in a second. For those of us that kind of become accidental entrepreneurs, I was one 11 years ago. You know, my story, just briefly, my parents were living 1,500 miles away from me, and my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and my dad had a stroke. And I'm an only child, and living 1,500 miles away from them wasn't going to work. And so I quit my job and started my business 11 years ago. And that's not an unheard of story, right? People do it for all kinds of reasons. But what they do is they say, I want to replace my income, okay? And so for most people who work in corporate, and that's my background, I worked in corporate for 15 years before I started my business. And for people who work in corporate, on average, you're talking about replacing about $150,000, right? Because most people who, if you, and I worked in HR, so these numbers are kind of rough estimates, but you can take somebody's salary and multiply it by 1.5 times to get their salary plus their benefits. And so if you've been working in corporate America, for longer than, 5 or 6 years, you're talking about typically a six-figure salary, right? So to make the math easy for everybody, $100,000 times 1.5 is $150,000. Now, if you're at that level or below, you know, there's not a lot of support that you necessarily need in your business. If your business is $150,000 or less, you don't need as much infrastructure as you would need for a business larger than that. So you might need an assistant. You might need who's doing your scheduling and managing your calendar. You might need an assistant who actually comes and assists you on gigs and is on set with you. You definitely need an accountant. You need an attorney to make sure that all your contracts are right. Like we talked about on the panel, you need insurance, and you need all kinds of insurance, as we learned about at PMAC. And so at that level, you know, you might not need a full-time person, right? You might not need a full-time assistant either assisting you delivering service, and you may not need a full-time assistant assisting you in running the back end of the business. But once you flip you get to about the $200,000 mark, you're going to need some dedicated support. So you're going to probably need a part-time assistant, right, if you're doing makeup, and you're going to need probably a full or part-time personal assistant, somebody who can do the administrative tasks in your business. And then as you continue to get more gigs, you're going to have 1099 people, and you're going to have some full-time people as well, depending upon how big you get, right, how big your business gets and what all your business is doing. Does that make sense, Janice and Denise?
Yes.
Your mom did well, Denise and Denise. That rolls off the tongue easy.
We mentioned earlier at the top of the show, and then you also just mentioned a few seconds ago, we talked about PMAC and the business panel. Can you just briefly just share with our audience what that panel was all about and some of the different areas of business that was represented there?
Sure. So we pulled together kind of a cross-section of people to participate in that panel. Myself as kind of a business strategist and leadership development person, if you're going to run a business, you need to understand you are the leader of that business, whether it has employees or not. Obviously, the two of you were on as folks who have successfully moved from being in front of the chair to being behind it and actually running a business. Buffy, the tax heiress, was on the panel, and she has a business that actually helps creatives to manage their finance and accounting function in their business and actually helps to pay their bills. So in addition to helping you to sort through how you manage, you know, supplies as a makeup artist is makeup, right? So how do you account for your personal makeup if you're a woman versus all the stuff you have to get for your clientele, as an example. So she talked a little bit about that. We had an insurance professional on the panel that talked about the different levels of insurance that you need, and there's some specific ones in the beauty industry that you need, especially if you're working with people's faces and their bodies, and if you burn them or you cause damage to them, you need to be insured for those kinds of things. And then we had a banker on who really was talking about what happens when you're ready to get capital investment. So if you decide that you're going to either move from a mobile business, so that's a person who shows up on set and does hair and makeup, to a brick-and-mortar business, or you may decide you want to invest in a hairline or a makeup line or some other beauty item that you want to sell to consumers, at that point you're going to need capital. And so he was on the panel talking about the kinds of things you need to put in place to be able to go to a bank and get capital investment.
Okay. Now, my next question is, and I want to talk in detail about going from artist to owner. But my next question is, should all artists go from artist to owner? Do you think that that's something that's very important, that at some point we go to owning something? You know, like, what's the benefit in it? What if I just want to be an artist and that's it? You know, do you think there's a benefit in going from artist to owner?
So here's what I would say. I would say that there's a benefit to you having multiple streams of income and to you being true to yourself.
Right.
So if you know that you don't have an interest in running a beauty business, don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think makeup is fascinating, and I think that the work that you all do as makeup artists is freaking amazing, and if I could get one of you to move into my house and when I wake up in the morning have my makeup already be done, I would do it in a heartbeat. Right? Because I'm clear about the, like, transformative power of the work that you all do. That said, even though I've taken Gwyneth's Makeup for the Everyday Woman class 100 times, that's a bit of an exaggeration, I do a decent job with my makeup, but I'm clear, Jules does it better, which is why whenever I have to go in public, Jules comes and she works my face out, right? So I'm clear about that. I'm clear that for me, that's a service that I would want, and I need somebody who can deliver that service. Now, my makeup artist, Jules, has her own level of aspiration, and at some point, she may look at me and say, I can't do your makeup anymore. I'm sending Mary, which would break my heart, right? But she has to do what she knows to be true. So ultimately, you as an individual have to decide, one, is makeup the business I want to be in that is the thing that I do because I love it and I love the transformative effect that it has on an individual and I love the hands-on piece of it, and I'm going to create multiple streams of income doing something different? Or am I serious about this to the point where I want to run a business and I don't want to just deploy myself as the resource to go put makeup on somebody's face? That's the decision you have to make, and you have to be honest with yourself about whether or not you have the mindset necessary to go from managing yourself as the sole employee of your business to go stand in front of a chair and apply makeup and moving to a place of, this is a business, which means it has to be run very differently than if I'm just taking appointments to go do, you know, 12 brides, 12, you know, the 12 weeks of summer.
Mhm. Yeah. Well, what if there's an artist out there who's just, you know, they just graduated from makeup school or hair school, whatever it is, nail school, and you know, and they're getting a little experience, or someone who may still be in school. or someone like myself who's been in the business for a while and is now ready, you know, to move on to that next level where I want to become an owner. Like I said on the panel, I believe in having a plan before making any moves. How does one of those three persons move to that next level?
Yeah, I think the first thing that you have to do if you're gonna run a business is you have to think about your exit strategy from that business. And that will then help you dictate the kind of business you want to create for yourself. So when you start a business, there, you know, at the end of the road, there are only a couple of ways businesses close, right? So let's take McDonald's for instance. McDonald's is a publicly traded company. It has shareholders. It will live on until, as a corporation, it decides to buy up all those shares from Wall Street and shut down, or it goes bankrupt. Right, like those are the two ways that I know of that a corporation can go out of business. It either goes bankrupt or it becomes privately held and it closes. Those are the choices. So when you're starting a business, you have to think about what's going to happen to the business when you're done. When you say you're retiring, are you determined to sell that business? Because that means you have to have a particular level of infrastructure that's going to be attractive to a purchaser. Are you just going to close that business? Do you want that business to be inherited by your children or some other friend or family member? So you have to be thinking about what's the business you're creating based on what you want to do with it at the end of the time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. So once you're clear about that, then that gives you some information about your infrastructure. So if you say at the end of my run, I'm just going to close the business, you never have to think about having employees,
right?
But at the end of my run, I'm going to pack up my makeup kit and, you know, let it be on display and collect dust in my home, right? So if that's your strategy, you don't need a team of people. You don't need infrastructure. You don't need any of that. Now, there are tax implications. I am not a tax accountant, and I'm not a tax attorney. So as listeners, you need to go consult with one to understand your tax implications.
But
most everybody is going to need some sort of business structure that goes beyond them being a sole proprietor, whether it's a partnership structure, a limited liability company, or a corporate structure, either S or C Corp, depends upon what your issues and your needs are, and you need to consult with a qualified person to sort that out. But ultimately, if you know you're not going to be doing anything with the business later, you could make the decision to appropriately incorporate for your risk needs and then close the business. If you decide you want to sell the business, then you have to think about, okay, what am I selling, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm a makeup artist and I'm standing in front of a chair and all I have to offer is a client list and my ability to put makeup on people, that may or may not have huge market value. Make sense?
Right. Yes.
Right? Because if I go away, like I said before, if Jules goes away and now she wants Mary to do my makeup, I may or may not be okay with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Yes, I have a client list, but how valuable is that client list? Is that client list a saleable client list? Will somebody else buy it? And what else are they buying? Does, you know, Mary's Makeup Incorporated have enough equity as a brand to be sold and leveraged? So that's the second thing you've got to sort out. Now, if you still own the business and you want to sell it, that's one thing. Then the third option is to say you want to take the business public and it's going to exist forever, you know, like ELQ on General Hospital, right? To go back to our beginning conversation, right?
Right.
So if you start a business and you say, I'm going to have it, I want it to go on forever, to be in business in perpetuity, you need to be a corporation, which means you need to have shareholders and you need to be publicly traded, all of which you need a lot of counsel around to get yourself structured to do an IPO, which is initial public offering, and to get to have your brand be traded in the public space. To do that, you actually have to have both products and services that can be sold that are bigger than you. Right. Otherwise, you have to have some sort of either intellectual property or trademark or patented item that you own as a business that then can be sold into perpetuity. So you have to decide at what level are you trying to play. Mm. And if any one of them is appropriate, you just have to choose where you're putting your stake in the ground.
Right.
Gotcha.
So how would you suggest, because all that you've said, that may go over some artist's head, you know, because they probably say, oh, I just want to have a little lip gloss line. I don't want to, you know, they don't want to have to think about all that you've said. You know, they may not have business and accounting background like we do, and, you know, we don't mind the discussion on some of the things that you just talked about, but some people, they just want to be artists, but now here they are, they want to go from artist to owner, and some of what you just said may not make sense to them. How do you get that across?
Yeah, so if I don't answer your question, I'll need you to rephrase it, but I'm going to take a shot at it, and we'll see how I do.
Okay.
So I think the first thing that somebody needs to do, you know, there is no such thing as a little lip gloss line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in my opinion, there's no such thing. I mean, I think about just a couple of weeks ago, Talia Waji's show was here, right, for the natural hair care show. And I happen to know a couple of women that own beauty brands that are displayed at that show, one of whom
mm-hmm.
quit her job as in-house counsel. She's got a Harvard degree, quit her
mm-hmm.
job as in-house counsel, and runs her beauty business. She has more than replaced her income. She has employees, and she runs a multi-million dollar business out of a warehouse and production facility in her hometown. So
mm-hmm.
it didn't start out that way, but now that brand is in Target and Sally's and Walmart. And every time I go in there to buy something, it's usually out of stock.
mm-hmm.
Right? So ultimately, there is no little lip gloss line. Because if the right person picks it up, I mean, if you've heard Carol's daughter's story, right? Carol's daughter, I forgot how this goes. Either Oprah was buying a basket for Jada Pinkett Smith, or the other way. The two of them were involved in the conversation. I mean, it's a story that got told on Oprah. And now Carol's daughter is in full distribution in Macy's, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is no such thing as a small lip gloss line. So if you're starting out and you're like, oh, I just want to own this little lip gloss line, that's fine that's where you are. And you need to start putting yourself in situations and starting to network with people who understand all of the different pieces of beauty. See, I'm a strategist. What I do is I help people create their business strategy. But I'm clear, I'm not an accountant and I'm not an attorney. So there are people who are in my network who can support people around that, right? But the first
right.
thing you've got to do is get yourself situated to understand, this is my lip gloss line, here's my vision for it today. My vision for it today is it is what I use on my clients. But then suddenly your clients start to say, I love this color, can I buy it? You have to have an answer for that, right? Because it's not like you go from idea to Oprah overnight. That's not how
mm-hmm.
it happens. So at every step in the process, you've got to have someone or someones who you can reach out to who have the technical capability that you don't have. So whether it's actually calling one of the two of you and saying, hey, Denise, I have a question, or better yet, saying, hey, Denise, I'd like to hire you to consult with me for an hour or two because I have these specific questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever you are in the path, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, my God, this sounds so overwhelming, I don't know what to do, spending an hour with a person in the business and you saying, I value your opinion and your expertise enough to pay you for it, sometimes people will actually say they'll waive their fee. But the fact that you understand that this is a business investment on your part, you can go to someone and get your questions answered. So because I don't know the kinds of questions an individual might have, so please call in with your questions if you have them. But if you're thinking about it, you've got to start where you are. And if where you are is, I have this idea for a lip gloss line, you need to go ahead and, like, get it formulated, get it patented to the degree that you can get it patented, get it packaged, and start testing it to see consumer response. That's where you start. Are y'all still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I was like, crickets on the other end of the line.
We're here. I was just sitting there thinking as you were saying that, you know, some people probably skip over that passage of sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of people don't. People think that they have a good idea and then they don't go test it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a good idea unless your market says so. You know, having doo-doo brown shade lipstick, you might have that color, but you might not want to call it doo-doo brown.
Right.
Consumer might not like that, right? So
right.
It's important that you test. You test the packaging. You know, I mean, how frustrated do you all as makeup artists get when you get to the bottom of a tube of lipstick? It frustrates the heck out of me as a consumer, right? I want to get it all out. And then I got to go find a lip brush. And I mean, like, you know, they're packaging issues. And to the degree that you figure out the right kind of packaging and the right kind of, you understand how your consumer uses your product and can make it easy for them to both access it and to use it, the better off you're going to be. But you're not going to know unless you start testing with your consumer. You just don't know.
I think that's probably another step that they kind of skip in some ways. Like, you know, if somebody buys it and then give them feedback, I mean, that's kind of giving you consumer response. But to actually maybe give it to certain consumers and kind of like a test group or something like that, they don't think of it in that way.
That's right. You have to put together a focus group. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have to put together focus groups of people in your target market, right? Because think about it this way. If we're talking about, just to use makeup as an example, the people who buy CoverGirl and the people who buy Yves Saint Laurent makeup are not the same women.
Mm-mm, right.
Would you, right? They're not the same people.
Yep.
So you have to decide. Both products are mass marketed. Both are available to the general public. But you have a lipstick in one case that costs $5 and a lipstick in another case that costs $50, right? And so, and it may cost more than $50. I don't even know. But you have to decide which target market are you going after and what is the expectation of that consumer. And if you haven't done your research and haven't provided your product to those people, you won't know. You won't know.
Mhm. So true.
Yeah. You don't know.
I'm sitting here thinking about, and of course I have to use makeup as an example because, you know, it's just all around me. But I look at a lot of makeup artists out there who say, and sometimes it's people who are not even makeup artists. I even see hairstylists doing this, but there are a lot of people out there that are like private labeling. Mink lashes. And, you know, they're saying, you know, they have a mink lash line or what have you. And that's all fine and good. I'm not down in that. But what I'm saying is that I use that as an example because I see a lot of people doing it. And then I wonder how successful their businesses are, or if any of them are even set up like a business. You know what I mean? Like they probably have the Square app and or whatever app they have, where they can swipe your credit card, you know, on the phones
right.
or tablets or what have you. They, you know, whatever product they're selling, you can pay them right there on the spot. You know, I think a lot of people, whether they have a business or not, are able to do that and do that
yep.
for whatever reason. I guess my thinking is you see so much and you see so many people doing some of the same things that I really wonder this whole concept from going from artist to owner, if they're just thinking about the right now and the money they can get right now versus you know, setting up a business the proper way, going through those steps that you just talked about that, you know, where you're going to start with the formulation or, you know, packaging and, you know, your focus groups and that kind of thing. Like, it just makes me wonder, do they realize that this is what they should be doing or it's just about getting the quick, fast money? And then if that is what
well,
it's
the,
out for you,
you know, at some point, You know this already because you guys have been working in the industry for so long that the beauty industry is fast money. It's fast money. And, you know, every year when it's asked me if I will do a workshop for people in the beauty industry because, one, there are so many women of color who are in this business who ultimately at the end of their run, whatever that is, retire with nothing, right? So if you're listening to this, the first thing you can do for yourself, if you are a solopreneur and you are in a cash-based business, it's going to take discipline to do what I'm about to say, but it will pay you dividends when you get ready to retire. The first thing is that you need to open up a retirement account. The second of which is that you need to institute the discipline of paying yourself weekly. Just because you got paid today doesn't mean that you should be spending everything that you got paid. And so the biggest step you can take today to start to shift from being an artist to being an owner is to actually deciding the business earns something. The business might earn, you know, $15 every time you do lashes. You should be accounting for some portion of that, let's say $5 of that $15 goes to your weekly pay. Excuse me. Now, you're not going to pay yourself every day. You're going to pay yourself at the end of the week, like if you worked at any other job. So in my business, because I started in corporate and I got a check once a month, that's what I was used to. That's what I still am used to. So what goes in my bank account, I get paid on the 28th of every month by my business. My business gets checks all month long. Me personally, I get one check at the end of the month that is predetermined, and that is my salary from the business. So if you want to start to shift your mindset from artist to owner, understand that when you do a transaction, the business made money, you didn't. You make
right.
money every Friday, every other Friday, however you decide you're going to pay yourself. And you're only going to pay yourself a portion of what you made because the business has business overhead. That's the biggest
now,
step you can take right now.
So you're going to take a salary. Now, I think I asked this question on the panel. Do you, and I think, and Buffy answered the question that no, you don't have to. I asked the question, do you have to take a salary? And she answered the question no, but it sounds like you're suggesting or recommending that you do.
Well, you have to if the only business that you're in is the beauty business that you run. At some point, you have to pay yourself.
Yeah, you have to at that point. But if
you have something else going on, right now, if you have something, if you are doing makeup on the side and you're trying to get your makeup business to the point where it's at that $150,000 mark where you're replacing your income plus all of the, you know, insurance and everything else you need to have in place to support yourself, then do you need to take a salary? Maybe not. But at some point, if you're going to go from artist to owner, as the business owner, the owner gets paid. There are several ways that the owner could get paid. The owner could get paid with a salary. The owner could get paid with an owner's distribution of profits, also known as profit sharing. So there's lots of ways that you as a business owner could get paid, again, based on your tax structure and your tax implications, depends on how you need to do that. And I'm not going to play tax accountant on Blog Talk Radio. So go talk to a tax professional about what's right based on your tax, you know, implications. But at some point, if you are in business, you are going to have to pay yourself. There's mm-hmm. lots of ways you do right. that, but you're going to have to start to write yourself a check.
Right. Right.
Now, can we go back and just talk a little bit more about your class, The Business of Beauty from Artist to Owner, and just kind of take us through the whole process, what they learn. There may be somebody out there who needs your help.
Yeah, so the class starts by, you know, really talking about what is your vision for your business, and really being honest about, do you want to be in business, or do you, you know, want to be on somebody's team like a Denise and go with them and let them, for lack of a better way to talk about it, make money off of you and your wonderful skill, right? So that's the first step, is to really get clear about do you want to own a business and what's your intention for it. Then we have some conversation about infrastructure. And we have a lot of conversation about retirement, because most people, when they go into business, they don't think about that. And we talk about the separation of your assets to understand that the business has bills and you as an individual have bills, and you need to be able to understand that. And then based on your own tax situation, typically we have tax resources available to folks so that they can get some of their questions answered. Then we start to talk about the conversation everybody wants to have, which is, okay, so what is my plan, right? And we talk about your plan in the context of your ideal client. So for some folks, your ideal client is a bride, right? You want to be in bridal makeup, and that's your ideal client. For some folks, your ideal client is CVS and Sony, because you want to win one of those Emmy Awards that you guys were talking about at the top of the show. So you have to be clear about who your ideal client is and then how they purchase your services. So in my world, because of the work that I do, I speak on stages. And because I speak on stages, I hire makeup artists across the country when I go places, right? Like I was in Minneapolis and Dallas a week and a half ago, and literally the day after I left PMAC, I got on a plane to go to Dallas, and I was gone all that week. Well, my team actually calls makeup artists in Dallas, because I had 2 speaking engagements in Dallas and 2 speaking engagements in Minneapolis, and I needed my makeup done, right? So I am somebody's target who wants to actually specialize in appearance makeup. I think that's what you all call it, right? Mm-hmm. So right. If that's your target, then you have to market to people like me, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a very different conversation than how I found Gwyneth Mosby, which was, you know, at a bridal show, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to be able to know where your target is going to be. Then based on your target market, you can start to strategize about what's possible for your business, what your big vision is for the business, what your revenue goals are for the business, what your multiple revenue streams are going to be within the business, and then what's the marketing plan and what's the strategic networking plan to get you there. And those are 2 different things. You have to have a marketing plan for your business, and you have to have a networking plan for your business. Have to. And so we talk about that in the workshop. We spend a lot of time talking about that in the workshop. And then because it's just a day, We then, by the time we get through those two conversations, the day is usually over. And then we give people an option to work with me in a group setting for 6 weeks to get implementation support and to get some additional instruction and to take a deeper dive specifically around the marketing and networking pieces to really be able to go out and do the work of moving from artist to owner.
Mm-hmm. Now, the marketing plan, I definitely realize why we have to have it, but the networking plan, why is that a must-have?
Yeah, so people do business with people that they know, like, and trust, period,
mm-hmm.
right? And it doesn't matter if it's the business that I run every day, which is, you know, helping executives to run the businesses they've been asked to run by Fortune 1000 companies, or if mm-hmm. it's the business of having somebody put makeup on my face, right? I'm going to do that based on having somebody I know, like, and trust to do that work for me. Or to be hired, I have to be someone that those executives know, like, and trust. That does not happen overnight. So I have to be networking and putting myself in position to be asked, right, to be asked mm-hmm. to do the work, right? The way that I got my makeup artist was because Gwyneth Mosby, I called her and I said, Gwyneth, I love you, but some days I can't pay as much as you charge me. Love you, though. And so we're awesome, but can't afford it. And so I need somebody I can afford on a more consistent basis to do my makeup. Do you have a referral for me? She was like, I sure do. I didn't talk to anybody else. I called her referral. Mm-hmm. We got along. She did my makeup. She's been my makeup artist for over a year. She gets business from me between 1 and 5 times a month in Atlanta. Because between 1 and 5 times a month, I got somewhere I got to go, and she gets called, and she comes and puts makeup on my face. Right? Now, if I have something super uber, like, special, then I'll call Gwyneth and be like, Gwyneth, please, don't charge me my arm and my leg because I need them both. I'll pay you my pinky toe. Can I give you my pinky toe?
Right.
So ultimately, though, she got my business because she was a referral to me. That happened because Gwyneth knew who she was. Gwyneth knew her temperament. Gwyneth knew my temperament and said, this is the person I think would be good for you. So if you're not strategically networking, Jules wouldn't have that opportunity. She wouldn't have, you know, a client who a month ago was on CBS Atlanta for 15 minutes. And she has the footage from that because she came to CBS Atlanta and did my makeup at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, which is a hellish of a call time, I know. But it was what it was. So ultimately, you have to have a plan to get known. And that's what networking does for you. It helps you to get known. And it's your visibility plus your credibility that will get you to your profitability. And if you don't have visibility, which comes from networking, you're not going to have credibility, which means you aren't going to have any kind of profit. You just won't. Because if I don't know who you are, and I don't trust that you can do what I need you to do, I'm not going to hire you.
Right. So, listening to what you just said, does that have a lot to do with, and this is something that I saw on your website, where you talk about where you need to focus on increasing your impact and influence while establishing and leveraging more meaningful relationships. Is that where this networking comes in?
That's exactly where networking comes in. That's exactly where networking comes in, right? Because I didn't know Jules existed, and I've just been using her as the example because she's a relevant one to this conversation. I didn't know she existed. When I called Gwyneth and said, I need a makeup artist, I didn't know who she was going to say. That's who she said. I called her, we hit it off, and she's been doing my makeup for a year. No questions asked. Like, I didn't even do a test run. Like, you know, because, like, when you go get your makeup done for your wedding, you get a test. I didn't even do a test run. I had an event, and I called her. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
second number one. Here we go. She did a great job, and she's been doing it ever since. But she had visibility to what I call a strategic influencer. She Gwyneth Maltby is a center of influence in the makeup industry. Because she had that relationship, when I called Gwyneth, Gwyneth was able to make a referral. So you have
right.
to be networking with centers of influence. You have to be networking with potential clients. You have to be networking with strategic partners, right? You have to be networking with people who you could fundamentally become a brand ambassador for, right? There are makeup artists who get their whole kit paid for and everything in it is Benai or everything in it is Yves Saint Laurent or whatever because they're a brand ambassador for that makeup brand,
mm-hmm.
right? But you can't make that happen if you're not talking to brand managers of beauty brands, whether it's hair care products or makeup or whatever. So you've got to be networking across the, and you need to be networking with your peers because there are days when Janice and Denise can't take a job because they're already booked, but they say I'll refer you, and I would bet dollars to donuts that you have a list of four or five people who are your colleagues. Who you have agreements with, either formal or informal, where if you can't do a job, you all refer each other business.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true?
That's true.
Right? And so the yeah. only way you're going to do that, because when CBS calls you all and says, you know, or The Walking Dead calls and says, we need makeup done, and you all are like, well, we're busy, we can't do it, let me refer you to Lene Anderson, right? So if in fact, you know, you were referring Lene and Lene wasn't good, suddenly you wouldn't be referring her anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that you get comfortable is you get a chance to see each other's work and you know each other and you see each other in the industry and you start to build a relationship. And then suddenly somebody calls and person A can't do it, but they refer you for the opportunity. You can't get referred if you aren't known.
Right.
And the barrier to entry is doing good work. So
absolutely.
I don't care if you are day one in school or you've been out of school 20 years. You need to understand backwards, forward, left, right, and in a circle your craft. And you need to be able to deliver it with excellence every time, such that when your colleagues see your work, they're impressed enough to have a conversation with you.
Right.
So you need to be networking across the industry because work can come from anywhere in the industry.
Yeah,
including
exactly.
from people that in the past you might have thought were your competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who do makeup aren't your competition. They're your colleagues, and you should treat them as such.
That's a good point. That's a good point. A lot of people don't think that way, but that's a great point.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm very clear, right? I have a team of people that work for me, and they all do what I do. They all have their way of doing it, but I don't view any of them as competition. And all of them have their own businesses, and there's sometimes when I support their business, and there's times when they support mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really important that you understand. My husband says it this way: if there's a pie on the table, there's more than enough for everybody. And it's about growing that pie versus acting like there's only one of them and you need to keep it to yourself.
Right.
So the more you can refer business and the more you can support your colleagues, the more your colleagues will support you, assuming you're good at what you do. And
right.
being good is the minimum barrier to entry. You have to be good at what you do.
Right.
And be honest about what you do, right? So my makeup artist does not do special effects makeup. My
mm-hmm.
husband runs a video production company. He makes movies. That's what he does for a living. He makes, you know, multi-million-dollar films. He does independent films. He does big-budget films. He does films. That's what he does. Stuff for corporate and stuff for Hollywood. And so there are times when he was looking for a makeup artist, and I said to my makeup artist, I said, oh, I said, you know, my husband needs this done. She said, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't do that. I do beauty. I don't do that.
Thank you for your honesty. He needed what?
He needed some special effects makeup. He needed to make somebody look like they got shot, right? So he needed somebody to be able to put a wound on somebody's body. And my makeup artist couldn't do it, right? So I had asked her, I said, well, can you do this for him? And she was like, oh, no, I can't do that, right? She got all kinds. My husband was like, oh, yeah, let me have a beauty opportunity. I'm calling your makeup artist. Because her stock went up because she told the truth. She was like, I can't do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say, let me take the job and screw it up. She was just like, no, here's a referral. Here, no, you're going to need to get somebody else to handle that. I can't do it. Right? And so now, whenever my husband's talking about, you know, the next shoot he has to do, he's always like, okay, well, is there a space for Jules to come work? Because she was honest, and she was credible, and she referred somebody who was credible and all of that. Right? It's important that you understand your expertise and you do what you're good at, and what you aren't good at, you don't do.
That's so true, because it'll get you in trouble.
It'll get you in huge amounts of trouble. Huge.
That's a whole nother show.
It's a whole other talk, though, isn't it?
Yes. Well, Cornelia, plug your book, Design Your Life, right now.
Oh, sure. So Design Your Life, How to Create a Meaningful Life, Advance Your Career, and Live Your Dreams is really my gift to the planet. I wrote it in 2014. The book starts off with me sharing the story of my mother's passing unexpectedly 5 days after my wedding, and me coming to understand that I had a life that actually worked. And I am committed to helping people sort out how to have a meaningful life that actually works for them. And that book is about helping you to craft the plan and to put the relationships and the personal reputation in place that you can have a life that you love to live.
Nice. And where can we get this book?
You can get it on Amazon.com or on BarnesandNoble.com. You can also get it on CorneliaShipley.com. And that's CorneliaShipley.com. And it's called Design Your Life, and it's a yellow book. There's lots of Design Your Life books out there. I humbly think mine's the best. But you can go to designyourlifethebook.com too. You'll get the whole story and see a picture of me and my mom at my wedding and all that.
Okay. This has been good. It really has.
It was super fun. It was super fun.
Yeah. I think any artist at any level could really benefit from the information that you shared tonight. Are there any plans for you to do that class anytime soon that we were just talking about, the business of beauty from artist to owner?
You know what? I typically do it once a year for Gwyneth, so it'll happen again next April. And if people are interested in joining the class, they can send an email to info@3, the letter C, and then the word consult. So that's 3CONSULT.com. And if you just put business and beauty in the title and then tell us that you're interested in coming, we will actually add you to the list and let you pre-register. We only let 12 people in the class. So if you email us in advance, you'll get advance warning, and then when we go to the show at PMAC in April, there may only be one or two spots left.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I will try to remember, or you can help me to remember, next April.
Yeah.
You can,
I'll come back on
start
the
show
PMAC, and we can talk about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
no,
that'll be
absolutely
good.
Absolutely. I would love that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, cool. Absolutely. Well, Denise and Denise, thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
You're
absolutely
welcome.
Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It was my pleasure.
Thank you much. We'll be in touch. We'll keep in touch. And, you know, we'll get this going again for next year. And don't forget, everybody, Design Your Life, Cornelia's book. You can get it on CorneliaShipley.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, or DesignYourLifeTheBook.com. All right. It's the yellow one, the best one.
It's the yellow one. Sure. That's right.
It's the best one. All right, Cornelia, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure, you guys. Have a great night and a great
you
week.
You too. All right, you too. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Next week is the third installment of our business series. And so the guest that we plan to have will not be able to do it next week, so we're changing our guest. So we will keep you posted as to who the guest will be for next week's show a little later during the week. But thank you guys for tuning in and following us. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. We are beauty_talk. And on Instagram, we are beauty_talk_media, Beauty Talk Online Radio on Facebook. And a big thank you to Sharon Tina Brightman, Style Degree on, what is that?
On everything.
Instagram? Or on everything, yeah. At Style Degree on everything. Thank you to Sharon Tina for being our moderator on the tweet chat on Saturday afternoon, the Women of Color tweet chat on Saturday afternoon. So thank you to Sharon Tina for that. Thank
and if you, missed the tweet chat, you can go back and you can follow at @beauty_talk on Twitter, but you can also follow the hashtag Women of Color Beauty Lounge. That's WOC Beauty Lounge.
Yep. Absolutely. And you can follow the conversation there. It was a great time. And we had so many people who may have not have followed been available at the time when we were live, but there were a lot of people who went back afterwards and follow the conversations and retweeted a lot of stuff. So it's good to get that woman of color information out there. So continue to follow the story. There will be more tweet chats in the future. So stay tuned. Thank you guys again for tuning in tonight. Have a wonderful, wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.